Hi everyone, and welcome to this edition of No Place Like Home. We've got some good news to start off with, and that is that the Hope Centre, which does so much to help alleviate homelessness in Northampton, is not going to be evicted this October after all. The centre, which has been helping out the poor and homeless for more than 40 years, has reached an agreement with its landlord, Midland Heart, to stay where it is in Oasis House until a similar facility, as good as, if not better than, what they have now, can be sorted out for them in the town. And looking around, it would be difficult to see where that would be, so Hope appears to be safe for now. But everyone concerned will have to keep an eye on the situation to make sure that the promise that has been made will be kept. But it's still good news, so well done to everybody involved. This edition we have the stories of Northampton people who have been up close and personal with the terrifying prospect and grim reality of finding themselves without anywhere to call home. Here they are speaking in their own words, telling their own stories.
Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake.
Well, I was made homeless. I had a two-bedroom bungalow in Weedon, which was social housing. I had a care package from social services, which I lost, which in turn then made me lose my tenancy, because I couldn't maintain the property, I couldn't keep up the bills. The property got into disrepair and an untidy state, which then the housing officer then obviously evicted me for the state the property was in, which then put me out on the street.
Yeah, so what did you do then?
I went onto the street with two dogs up on by the KFC restaurant area. I spent 3 or 4 nights on the streets. I was kicked, I was spat at, I was urinated on by nightclubbers. I had no sleeping bag, I had no tent, nothing like that. I didn't think I needed anything like that. After about a week, I couldn't cope with it. So I walked out towards Swan Valley, where I purchased a tent from Six Sainsbury's at Sixfields on the way through. I pitched a tent in a field just on the outskirts of Swan Valley, where I met a very nice farmer. He provided me with an urn with some water in, a pint of milk, clean bin bag, and he took my old bin bag, dirty bin bag away with him.
Wow. So how long were you there?
About 9 weeks. I said to the mental health worker I couldn't cope. I was struggling. The dogs kept touching the side of the tent, getting me wet with condense. I was getting wet, cold, miserable. And I said to the mental health worker, I can't cope, I need a shower. She goes, well, have you not tried Hope Centre? And because Oasis had already rejected me to come in here, as they said I had no needs to be put in here, I turned around and said, well, I assumed the two were together. And I said, well, I've already been rejected. And she then walked me over and I spoke to a member of staff here. Yeah. I had a shower that day. I was given a meal voucher, clean clothes, a pair of shoes, socks and a coat, because I didn't even have a coat. Yeah. You know, and they gave me a coat as well that night, for that day. And then they told me with the opening hours to come back the next day for breakfast, things like that.
And so you had a mental health worker all the way through this then?
Yes.
And then she knew that this was happening to you?
Yeah.
And could she not help you?
It's not their remit.
Yeah.
She said it's not their remit. Housing is not their remit. They deal with mental health. I've been there for physical health and other issues I've had, and they said it's got nothing to do with them.
Homeless, homeless, moonlight sleeping on a midnight lake.
Cold, wet, horrible. I was out in last year's snowy time, in February time, I think it was, in a car in Grafton Street for about 2-3 weeks. But then before that, I was in the other snowy time, in basically underneath a flat. I don't think there's that much respect for the homeless, to be honest with you. Because before, when I was on the streets, we used to get kicked, peed on, puked on and everything, beaten up, robbed. But nothing to help except this place and a couple of other places. What can help you?
Basically, we were facing homelessness. So we were both full-time employed, and we were trying to save for a mortgage at the same time as trying to pay rent and bills. And it was, you know, we did that for months and months and months, didn't we? And we were saving, or trying to save, £900 a month. I mean, that's a lot of money. Because the landlord wanted to sell by a particular time, so there was a deadline we had to try and meet. So we were working really hard to try and meet it. And we just thought, in the end, what are we doing? We are nearly bankrupting ourselves, like emotionally, physically. We never saw each other. And we thought, what's the point? And obviously, because we have a dog, trying to get rehomed or trying to, you know, find somewhere else to rent, if you have pets as part of your family, landlords are not particularly understanding of what that means. And there's absolutely no way that we were going to give him up. So he'd already been through too much because he's a rescue and we just weren't prepared to, you know, make things worse for him. So we looked at alternatives. We were looking at living in a van for a while, weren't we? An RV or kind of thing.
Bus as well.
Yes, and... yeah. And then one day we were sitting in the kitchen and I just went, what about a boat? And he went, what? I said, yeah, let's go and have a look at some narrowboats because there's so many marinas and boatyards around here. So we did. We went and had a look at Wilton Locks in Daventry and literally the first boat we saw, we just knew. And it was Riadne. We just knew. And we went and looked around loads of other ones and we were just searching through all the various local sites and things. And we kept coming back to her. And I do think we struck gold because she is incredible.
Did you know anybody else who had done this? Do you have friends who had boats? Or?
Yes. And I had... I'd been on a few narrowboating holidays when I was younger with school and with friends, but that's not the same because height of summer... You know, it's not, you know, you've only got it for a week. It's not really technically your responsibility. But when you own a boat, that's entirely different and it's considerably more terrifying.
Because I think you said the last time we talked that this is everything you've got, isn't it? That and it's sitting on the water and things can happen.
Yeah. Even the slightest, and particularly if you have high anxiety levels like I do, it just doesn't really help. You've only got to hear a slight poosh in the water. Like, What's that? And it's just, you know, you end up thinking, you have to, when you're moving the boat, I'm so conscious of thinking, this is it. This is our home. There's no backup. There's no alternative. This is it.
Homeless, homeless, more lights than you want to make light click.
I was homeless. Basically, I've come here and asked them for help and support, and they've done the job.
Yeah. And how did you come from Nottingham to Northampton?
Basically, I was living everywhere, all different places and everything. I had a daughter, and so I moved to Northampton because I needed like my ex-partner's support for my daughter. So
he lived here. You had some connection with it.
So I've lived down here.
Yeah. And would you stay here and not go back to?
Yeah, I'll stay here. Yeah.
Yeah. And your daughter, where is she now?
Oh, she lives with grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And where are they? There.
Northampton.
They're in Northampton as well. All right. So that's all kind of sort of left.
I was moved over in 2011 for work business wise. Because I was an events officer.
Mm-hmm.
I still do a little bit now and again. And I used to live at the top of the road. And I got kicked out from there. I was made homeless for about three weeks.
3 weeks, yeah.
I was 3 weeks possibly, and then they moved me to the night shelter. And from the night shelter, they moved me into this building. Then I got a place with a company called Nash. Lived there for 15 months with Nash. Now I've got my own little place. On my own. I was sofa surfing most of the time, going different places, and until I got with Nash and Oasis Midland Art.
And how did you get to be in that state, would you say, that you were sofa surfing?
I left Leicester Bussing because I was Bussing, came down here to work, and for me to get the work Bussing, I had to move down this way. So I moved into a friend's house for the time being.
And that was when?
Sorry. And that was in 2013. I started my job in 2013.
Right.
Over events work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there nearly 5 years now.
Really?
Well, I've been there actually 5 years.
Yeah.
Been my 6th year this year.
Working at it for the same company?
Yes.
Right, yeah. And is that full-time? Or is it?
No, it's casual work. We'll see. It's about zero-hour contract.
Yeah. So which makes it difficult to get to rent and stuff.
Yeah.
But you think things are much better for you now?
Oh, everything's coming up front at the minute, Wilson.
Yeah.
I'm struggling at the minute, Wilson, because I've got no central heating in the place where I am now. But that's getting done on the 23rd of this month, which I'm glad.
Yeah.
I've gone nearly 4 weeks without heating.
And, right, OK, so The plus sides then, what's the best thing about living on Rhiannon?
Well, if you don't like your neighbours, you can just go further up the river. That's an amazing plus side. We quite enjoyed it over the summer, didn't we?
You were going to say that.
it's like the first obvious one, because we have a home that moves, so why not? So we went all the way over to Whedon, pretty much, didn't we? Mm-hmm. A little bit further as well this summer.
We were bimbling all the way between Gayton and all the way up to Daventry, because that whole stretch doesn't have any locks on it, so it's really just a nice amble up and down. Yeah, it's not great, too hard work.
Yeah, yes. The nice thing about the rural waterways is there's no real pressure to move, as long as you're out of a district once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a 14-day stay.
Yeah. So does that mean you have to move, because you moved since the last time I was here, but not
you
very
have
far?
To, but that was out of necessity, because we had to go into the marina to access their facilities.
All right.
Because obviously we're not plumbed into the shore, so
all right.
So you do have to take into consideration things like your water and where your waste goes.
Yeah.
Once a week we've managed to get it down to you now, haven't we? Where we just just nip into the marina and do what we need to do, and then come back out.
We're off again.
Right. I mean, how long could you see yourself living like this on a boat? I mean, do you think you could live here forever?
You never know. You never know what life's going to throw at you.
I'm not entirely sure I'd feel 100% comfortable going back to living in a house if we ever had to.
Well, what do they do? They don't do anything.
That's it.
Homeless, homeless, more lights than you want to make lightly.
If you were in a position of power and you could help sort out the housing problem for people in Northampton, what do you think you would do?
A, not sell the housing stock that they sold and are selling, the right to buy. You know, they can afford to buy somewhere, give up your property and buy somewhere. Don't buy the council property. People need them. Families need them. You know, a lot of the family homes in the Eastern District that were council are no longer council owned. They've been bought. You've got properties throughout Northampton, old hotels. You know, you've got a number of hotels through the town that are standing empty. You've got buildings that are standing empty. Houses in Hazelwood Road, you know, York Road, that are empty, they can be turned into property for people. Some of them are just literally going into rack and ruin.
Because you never know what's around the corner at all. You know, most of the people you see who are on the streets, I mean, we've got a mate of ours, who's homeless. You know, we see him out on the street, and it's just like, it's a real...
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's a real serious reminder that it only takes a small thing to completely derail everything. You know, I mean, he had a pretty good job. I think he was a plasterer or a decorator, if I remember correctly. And then he broke his foot and then couldn't afford to pay his rent, wasn't getting any benefits for it. And then that was it out in the street.
Is it like 35% of... I saw the statistics this morning, funnily enough. It's 35% of all homelessness statistics are down to job loss. Or then the next one down was, I think it was 15%, was that the bills were just too high. And then you've got a lot of people that aren't able to afford... There's this assumption that everybody can afford broadband or they can afford internet, and they can't. And with library closures, they don't have access there either. So how are people supposed to manage if you're taking away all of the pathways that were in place? All the infrastructure that was there has now is being removed. It's just being eroded.
I'm very grateful to Linda, Jazz, Matt, Sally, Steve and Willie for sharing their stories and their ideas. I'm Ted Sullivan. See you next time with more about solving the problem.
See you.